Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Katie Nolan. That's Pablo Torre. Nailed it. That's Mina Kimes. Let's get started.
How big a deal is it that Nike is suspending their endorsement deal with Deshaun Watson?
All right, so this Deshaun Watson story has been developing over the last few weeks. Doesn't seem to have been getting necessarily the attention that some of us feel that it should. And so let's discuss where we stand at this moment. 22 women have filed civil lawsuits against Deshaun Watson, alleging that during massage sessions, he was inappropriate in a number of ways. I would urge you to go look up what the suits are alleging, because there's a lot of information there that it would be difficult to unpack on a show such as this. But those have been filed. Found out on Friday that at least one, more than one woman has gone to the police about this in filing criminal charges. So that's being investigated by the Houston Police Department. And then yesterday, there was a press conference held by Tony Busby, who's the lawyer representing these women. And one of the women, one of the accusers, came forward and spoke. This is a very heavy clip, but I feel it's important to show it. So let's take a look.
I am a survivor of assault and harassment. Deshaun Watson is my assaulter and my harasser. Deshaun Watson assaulted and harassed me on March 30th, 2020, in my own home, doing what I love most, massage therapy. I got into massage therapy to heal people. To heal their minds and bodies, to bring peace to their souls. Deshaun Watson has robbed me of that.
So today, this morning, Nike released a statement saying that they were suspending their endorsement deal with Deshaun Watson and came out against the allegations, saying that they take this very seriously. And then now we've learned that Beats by Dre also is ending its partnership. And there's also a discussion about maybe placing him on the commissioner's exempt list, which we've seen used in the past when people are being investigated for things such as this. Clearly, things are starting to actually take form. We're starting to understand what's being alleged, and things are moving forward at what seems to be a pretty fast pace.
Yeah, Nike suspending their partnership with him, it is a big deal because it's another entity signaling that these accusations are serious, they're credible, they are expansive. It's also not very surprising based on what we saw, that video from yesterday, because while we don't know with any certainty what happened between Watson and this woman, Ashley Solis, or between Watson and the 20 plus women who have filed lawsuits, I do know this. The woman, in coming forward, she knows, she's accepted, I imagine, that her life is going to be changed forever. She is going to be the target of harassment and slander. We've seen this story before. When you Google her name now, this is going to come up instead of, you know, any business that she's built. That is a weighty decision. And as we talk about the other decisions that companies are going to make, that the NFL is going to make, that the Houston Texans are going to make, that Watson himself is making, I just want to remind people of that. That decision, the decision made by this woman, two women who have put their names out there, the ramifications are serious. And I think we as a society still haven't gotten our arms around what that means. But believe me, she knows.
Yeah, when you look at the company perspective for a second here, you look at Nike and Beats by Dre, they are weather vanes. They are not leaders. They are not moral compasses. They are reacting to the stuff that is going to be stirred up by what Mina just described. These are companies that are trying to avoid indictment, moral or otherwise, themselves. And I think what is so important to do when it comes to a case like this, which is hard to talk about for all the reasons that Katie said, is to kind of try and understand it outside of the internet and social media, which is so rife with unbelievable toxicity and conspiracy theories, and just sort of lay out the basic facts. 22 women have filed civil lawsuits. There are now investigations underway by law enforcement. The counter from Deshaun Watson and Rusty Harden, his attorney, has been to bring out 18 women who all say, actually, we think Deshaun Watson has been good to us. And it's just important to examine what we have on those scales right now, because the opposite side of the equation, 18 women saying, we like this guy, that is not proof that he did not do incredibly disturbing things. And it's not proof that he did not use the occupation of massage therapist, which is a serious, real job that Ashley Solis very clearly sees as her life work, and try to use it towards allegedly incredibly disturbing and victimizing and manipulative ends. So what we should remember here is that how a person, and this goes to people in the media who've dealt with Deshaun Watson and his agent and his team, and maybe those 18 women, it doesn't quite matter so much how a person dealt with you personally. It's important to take in the weight of all the evidence as objectively as we can, knowing it's all alleged right now, and try to formulate some sort of balanced, rational response, free of conspiracies from there.
Is the Russell Wilson drama officially over?
I mean, I hope not, just for the sake of it making content for us, thanks to Mina. Don't be mad. You did this to me for much longer than you should have with Tom Brady, and this is just how it goes. Anyway, the news that this is actually tied to, Carlos Dunlap has re-signed with the Seahawks after he was released in March, and what we now have found out is that Dunlap himself says that he was in regular communication with Russell Wilson during that time period after he was released and before he re-signed, and he basically re-signed because he was told by Russell Wilson, and he makes it a point to say, he's paraphrasing and not directly quoting, that he was going to be coming back, which is what Carlos Dunlap wanted to hear. He basically said, if you're coming back, like if I come back, it's because you're my quarterback. And he was assured by his dear friend, Russell Wilson, that that's what's going to happen. Now, this also comes as Warren Moon says, yeah, they may keep him for this year, but they're not going to keep him long term. It's going to be a divorce eventually. So I would say, don't worry, dear viewer, even if this does appear to be the end of the Russell Wilson drama for this year, we may still be able to tease some future drama and bring that up to Mina all the time. So we won't be entirely without Mina freaking out content. I just want to make sure everyone knows.
Yeah, that was my main thought, Katie, watching Mina kind of celebrate your accounting of the events as described, because it's not really up to Russell Wilson whether the drama is over. It's up to everybody who likes to talk about Russell Wilson. And sorry to be entirely biased in our own self-interest here, but ask LeBron James how that dynamic goes. It doesn't really end whenever you say, I think it's ending now. And also, Carlos Dunlap, if I may now throw some logs onto this fire that I've decided to start kindling here, Carlos Dunlap did have a direct quote in that accounting. And his quote was, Russell told me, let's go Hawks. And I just want to make something clear. Russell Wilson says, let's go Hawks, like I say life filler. He might say it after you sneeze. He says it all the time, doesn't he? Like, what is that proof? Is that proof of anything?
Okay. As the network's apparently foremost scholar of Russell Wilsonisms, let me drop some knowledge on you. Russell Wilson stopped saying go Hawks for a couple of months this spring, and it brought great panic to the world of Seahawks Twitter. So the fact that he has resumed saying go Hawks,
wow, allegedly,
does actually signify that he is at least content in the present. And frankly, no one should be surprised, because I was saying forever on this show and every show I could get my hands on that there was no reason why Seattle would trade Russell Wilson this year. It was illogical. It would have caused the team to incur a massive dead cap hit. There was no other path to a quarterback on the table. Like, the Chicago Bears reportedly offered the Seahawks 3 first-round picks and a couple of defensive players they were going to cut anyways. San Francisco just traded up, reportedly for Mac Jones, 3 first-round picks. Why would Russell Wilson be worth the same amount as Mac Jones? Actually, less, because of where Chicago was picking. Now, that said, I'm not going to go full homer here. The tensions were real. There was a reason why it was reported that Russell Wilson had a list of possible destinations. So, yes, this story is not going away. But in the present, this season, it's going away. And that is all that matters.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is for me.
Wait a minute. Mina, you can't say not to go full Homer here while wearing a short sleeve shirt under which peeks out the tattoo you have of the Super Bowl number in Roman numerals that the Seahawks won. I don't feel like you can do that.
Up next on HQ.
as somebody who used to buy a lot of garbage can themed merchandise, I'll tell you, for whatever reason, there is there's a market.
Right.
Yeah. I have a mug that's shaped like a garbage can.
Do you question if Dusty Baker makes a convincing argument that fans should be nicer to the Astros?
I mean, so before, pre-pandemic, come with me to a time when things were simpler and we had no idea. The Astros, Major League Baseball found that the Astros were guilty of cheating, but in the process of investigating that, also granted immunity to all of the players. And I remember the discussion directly after that all was announced was that they were going to hear about it from fans the next season. Problem was, I mean, a number of problems, a pandemic hit, and fans did not get to do anything the next season. So a lot of people were wondering what was going to happen this season. How would fans treat the Astros? Well, we have a clip for an example.
I didn't even know you could get inflatable trash cans.
Okay, that is my question. Like, where did they go for that? Is it homemade? Did they go to Party City?
I probably should have mentioned one of the things that they were found guilty of doing was using a trash can to signal that things were happening. So it's not just like, we think you're trash. But although I, you know, might also mean that. But anyway, seems to me relatively harmless. Obviously something to be expected, as Major League Baseball was expecting it last season, almost even planning for what they would do if somebody was targeting a player by throwing at their head or something. But anyway, Dusty Baker came out and said, you know, this.
You could tell the amount of hostility and the amount of hatred in the stands. And, you know, how many in the stands have never done anything wrong in their life? Or, you know, we paid the price for it. How many people have not cheated, you know, on a test? It's a sad, you know, situation for, you know, for America to me. You know,
when
you hear things and what the kids supposed to think in the stands, or you know, and some of them are kids, they're following their parents, and it's
the children. Somebody think of the children.
And you know, we paid for ours, and you know, we say leave it alone.
No, you didn't.
Yeah, but that's the thing, right?
What?
Like, you didn't. And also, I've seen no contrition from the team. I understand the mentality of, like, it's us against the world, but you skipped the step where you're like, hey, our bad. That wasn't cool. We need to be sorry. I haven't heard it. I've seen a lot of grandstanding and talking about how everybody's too mean and everybody makes mistakes. But part of when you make a mistake is the consequences of your actions. And the consequences are that a lot of people are very mad at you for that mistake you made. And they're getting more mad the more you refuse to apologize and instead just say, like, hey, we cheated on a test. It's not the same as cheating on a test. I would say it's maybe like cheating on a master's degree. Like, you got the big thing from the cheating. This is a big deal. Stop diminishing it.
You can't go glass houses. You can't say, let he who has not orchestrated a giant cheating scandal that allowed you to win the World Series cast the first stone, because I'm pretty sure it was just you guys. And that's the other ingredient in all of this, is that the Astros won the World Series doing it. So many other teams cheat. And if Dusty Baker wants to go, you know, moral hedging on all of that, I get it. But the idea is the Astros won the World Series. They're now 5-1. They're still really good. And Dusty Baker, man, I just want to applaud him for doing this, right? Because all he does, I mean, his main job description beyond being an accomplished manager is to go and do press conferences like this, to specifically cross your arms like this and sound very disturbed that all of the people accusing him of doing things, even though he wasn't actually on the team that did it, are actually the ones who maybe should check the skeletons in their own closets.
You guys have said all of the obvious and smart things about the hypocrisy of the Astros and the humor of Dusty Baker trying to make these excuses. So I'm just going to go back to the inflatable trash can. Where do you get that? Like, are people having garbage themed birthday parties? Or maybe it's like an Oscar the Grouch hold the Grouch situation. Mm. I just want to know where one acquires such a thing.
Well, as somebody who used to buy a lot of garbage can themed merchandise, I'll tell you, for whatever reason, there's a market.
Right.
Yeah. I have a mug that's shaped like a garbage can. I've got, a lot of garbage can themed things. They're out there. I'm not sure why, but boy, was I grateful.
Like, I love everything about this because it does remind you of like simpler times when this was the thing that we got enraged about, right? Rather than the 10 million other more serious things, which is not to minimize. Like, that to me, that's the route I would have gone if I was Dusty Baker. I wouldn't have said, this is what's wrong with America. I would have said, really, America? This is what you're mad about? And I think he could have pulled that off.
100%.
That's a good strategy.
Or he could have been like, look, the country's going through a lot right now. Fans were cooped up for a year and couldn't come to baseball. So sure, we expect that at baseball games. Fans are going to have hypercharged emotions and we welcome it the same way we welcome the return of baseball. The way you could go a million ways with it, but you went this way. And I just want to know why.
How come no one ever did that to the Patriots, by the way, after Deflategate, throwing like deflated footballs onto the field? I feel like that could have been a sick burn.
What's happening right now?
I don't know. Just pondering. Mm. I'm not even trying to make content. I'm just thinking out loud. Mm.
Could you do it quieter?
Tonight on ESPN, Pelicans and Nets.
Oh, I mean, I was in as soon as I heard those four letters. ESPN. But yeah, of course I'm in. I love watching the Nets now that I know Mina has a rooting interest. But the Nets beat the Knicks on Monday, and Julius Randle's kid took it pretty hard.
Blame that.
You hate who?
I hate those.
You hate them?
Yeah.
It's okay.
Oh, I'm supposed to ask you, Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. I mean, first off, shout out to Julius Randle's wife, I suppose, for discovering the secret of great content, which is to humiliate and shame your children. I'm sorry, Violet, in the future for that. But also, like, maybe he's crying about the fact that, I don't know, he knows that on this very television program, we have giant Nets fans who are just frauds. Maybe he's just afraid of what that does to the journalistic ethics of the entire network that Katie hummed the jingle to.
I mean, I think I don't want to be associated with the spice that you just came with because it felt sort of out of nowhere. Mina, what are you intrigued and are you okay?
No. I'm fine because that spice didn't come out of nowhere. That came out of the fact that the Nets just pulled up even with the Sixers in the standings. Yeah, and Julius Randle's kid, I'm sorry, but that's basically what my mentions look like every time I tweet about the Nets. Big three, basketball is ruined. Sorry, not sorry for being dominant. Go Nets, Harden MVP. People are going to be mad at me for doing that and imitating the kid, huh?
No.
Don't care!
No.
Starting tomorrow, the Masters.
Oh, I mean, of course, the Masters are back. Very exciting. I have been told that what I'm to toss to here is a clip of Phil Mickelson that is Pablo Torre-esque. And also that him displaying knowledge of both culinary something and Russian history. What? I have no idea. Let's just watch it together.
I remember I'll share with you a little funny story from Adam Scott's victory. And he had had this wonderful meal, Australian themed, and out comes dessert and it's pavlova. It's meringue with some fruit and so forth. And I said, no, there, you can't Google this stuff because our cell phone, you know, there's no cell phones allowed, right? And I said, Pavlova, that's inspired by the great Russian ballerina Anna Pavlova, who was touring through New Zealand, Australia. And the Australian chef was so inspired by her beautiful movement and tutus, she ended up made a dessert after her.
Tutu?
Chairman Payne looked at me like, what kind of stuff are you spewing here, you know? And this is true. You know, Zach Johnson looks at me, he says, I got $100, says that's not right. You know, so everybody's calling me out on my BS. And a lot of times I am BSing. However, my daughter was a dancer and she wrote a biography on Anna Pavlova. And I made 32 Pavlovas for her class when she was a little girl. And I knew this.
Oh,
Oh, it's such a great story, especially the part where he pretended somebody else made it a monetary bet, not that he was like, I'll bet you $100 I'm absolutely correct. Pablo, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. I resent the characterization that that is me. I feel like that actually reminds me of the Russian psychologist Ivan Pavlov, not Pavlova. Oh, yeah, Pavlov, yeah. Of course, who trained his dogs to have automated responses to things over conditioning.
Sure.
And I feel like our producers were just trying to ring that bell and get me to do the thing that I always do as if I do that ever, which obviously I do not.
I also would say that it wasn't Pablo-esque because, you know, he was right. Mina, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I am. The producers, they did to you exactly what Pavlov did to those dogs, which is they dangled the obvious trigger here, some kind of obscure reference, and you fell for it. Mm.
Wait, hold on. You can't do that to me when literally seconds before we started the segment, your literal dog was barking very loudly because there was a bell that just rang. If we have that tip. That was great. That was legit. That was like the best acting.
Jesus Christ, Lenny.
What? Is someone here?
All right, that's it for another episode of Highly Questionable. Important to note, it may feel like Friday. It's not. It's, what, Wednesday? So just keep that in mind as you go throughout your day. If you want more of these two, go find them. They're good people.
Wednesday.
It's Wednesday?